Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Francis Ball has joined us again today. Welcome back, Francis.
Very good to be here. This is a very interesting portion we're in today.
It is that, and we really ask the Lord's mercy today to enlighten us. There's something here for every believer today, I think, in this program, if our eyes could be opened. We've come to an outstanding portion. As I said, there's a lot of light here, Francis. And the story is the distribution of the good land among the 12 tribes of Israel, actually the 11 tribes, not counting Levi, but then the tribe that would have been Joseph's was divided in two, so he got a double portion, and that's how they got back to 12. And one of those two, Manasseh, is also included in this story, as we will get into it today. The boundary of the good land is normally considered to be the Jordan River on the east side. But actually, at that time, the boundary extended to the east of the Jordan River, and there was a portion which you could possess or reside in without crossing the Jordan. And that is the part in question here. Let's look at a few verses at the beginning of chapter 32. It says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great abundance of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that the place was indeed a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the assembly, saying, 'The land which Jehovah struck before the assembly of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock.' And they said, 'If we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not make us cross over the Jordan.'" That's an important phrase in this passage, isn't it, Francis?
Yes, it certainly is. This fact that "do not make us cross over the Jordan" has a lot of significance.
Talk a little bit before we go to Witness Lee for the first portion. What is at issue here? What is the real crux of the story and what's behind the scenes?
Well, out of all the tribes of Israel who had been promised to be brought into the good land, there's these 2.5 tribes, Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh, who have realized that this is a beautiful spot for theirs according to what they have and according to what they see. They conclude that this is the right spot for them, not to go across Jordan, but to be granted the property east of the Jordan, which is really ideal for their livestock. As you read in the Bible, they had a great abundance of livestock, and for this particular portion, really looked ideal for this. And it does show us that we make our choices by what we have and what we see, and we make our individual choice, we could end up in bad trouble.
Because it was his intention, as you pointed out, that all would cross the Jordan, all would go into the good land, right, and he would divide up according to his estimation. But it was just, in this instance, too good to pass up. And haven't we all been there, Francis?
Yes, that's right. And we see what it's like, and it just looks too good to pass up. If we're wrong, well, we'll apologize later. But I think we really have a lesson to see here about the danger of making our choice instead of giving God his way.
Why don't we go to Witness Lee?
Concerning the land east of the Jordan, there is a request of the two tribes, Reuben and Gad. This is a desire to receive what God has promised. There's nothing wrong. But according to their choice, this is not so good. In spiritual things, to do things according to our choice, this is terrible. Anything we do, if that is according to our own choice, that is always terrible. We may think that is the best. Actually, that is the worst. So try to do things all the way, not according to your choice. If you go to the history of the Bible, especially in Chronicles and the Kings, you could find some cases there, especially the Babylonians. They came to attack the good land, and they invaded the good land. Do you know, the first part of the good land that suffered this kind of invasion was the part on the east of the Jordan. When the Gentiles came from the east, they always firstly dealt with the east part of the good land. So at that time, the 2.5 tribes, they suffered. So this suffer was due to their choice. It is better to leave the thing in the hand of the Lord. Let his choice be something, not our choice. In the Lord's service, whenever you have your own choice, you be prepared to suffer. Our choice is not a good selection. We are short-sighted. We are somewhat selfish. So it's really hard for us to be pure in motive, pure in desire, pure in intention, pure in the goal. Not so easy. We are not so simple. So it's hard for us to be pure. If we all learn the lesson, there'll be no problem. If we have our own choice, trouble comes. So learn the lesson not to follow these two tribes, Reuben and Gad, not to follow. Rather, you better follow Benjamin, Judah. They just take what God chooses for them.
Francis, actually, the geography of the land does kind of enter into the story here in a good understanding. I was in Israel in the Palestine area a couple of years ago. I remember driving through this very area. We were on one of those tour buses and coming down the hills of Gilead. It's quite a beautiful sight. And there are to this day cattle and sheep just grazing, a very, very pleasant setting as it drops down into the Jordan Valley there. You could really see the temptation that must have taken hold of these two, particularly given that they were quite occupied with raising cattle and sheep. It was an ideal place, but it seemed right to them. But oftentimes, as happens, when we choose what looks right to us, it makes us vulnerable to the attack of God's enemy, doesn't it?
Yes, we surely need to learn this lesson from this physical setting that we have before us here, that it does have a spiritual significance. When the Lord's promised us something and we go about to help God fulfill that promise by making our own choices, we can expect that we're going to miss what God really had for us, and that will end up in some amount of suffering.
Let's talk about this matter of the attack of God's enemy. I thought this was a particularly striking point. That was really the source of much of the trouble, because they had not crossed the Jordan, and the Jordan became a kind of a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what the Jordan signifies and how that helps repel the attack.
It's really significant in this whole setting that there's so much water here. The Jordan here is really a symbolic of the death waters, or bearing the cross, or losing our soul life. Because if they take this way, they go through the cross, which is the Jordan, they'll be on the positive side of the promised land. But if they take their way and they find a way to stay in this area that they prefer, they may see that it doesn't pay to get your own way and make your own choice. It's better just to leave the matter with the Lord and let him make the choice for you.
Hmm. Of course, if you look at a map there, you can see a little farther to the east was the land of the Babylonians. And they were a real threat to Israel. And when they invaded and marched, they had to come right through this portion on the east side of the Jordan. Mm-hmm. So, which meant that these two tribes had to face the enemy before he got to the rest of the people.
Yeah, right.
You mentioned the water of the Jordan River being part of the boundary. And this coming portion, we're going to see actually the entire land, the good land itself, is surrounded by various bodies of water. And these are all very symbolic and have a lot of meaning for us. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go back to Witness Lee?
The top section of the good land is surrounded by two seas and one river. The number one sea is the Mediterranean Sea. Number two sea is the Dead Sea. And then the number three is the River of Jordan. All of these seas and the river signify Christ's death. The enjoyment of Christ is at the border of his death. That means within his death, in the territory of his death, there is the enjoyment of Christ. This also means the good land is an uplifted land. And this signifies the Christ whom we enjoy in his riches is the ascended Christ in resurrection. Could you see this? And this is the heavenly Christ, elevated. That land is somewhat uplifted. That signifies the ascended Christ, the uplifted Christ in the heavens. And surrounding him are the waters. And all the waters signify the death of Christ, which has buried us and brought into us his resurrection. And now we remain in his ascension, enjoying him as the uplifted land with his all riches. It's quite meaningful. Now, the two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, having received their inheritance beyond the Jordan at Jericho. Well, this is altogether not in good sense. The enjoyment of the good land of the two and a half tribes was outside of the death of Christ. They have not crossed the river of Jordan yet. They have not entered into the good land. The border of the good land is the river Jordan. So many times your choice is just outside the death of Christ. Your choice doesn't have anything to do with the real enjoyment of the rich Christ, because you are still outside of the boundary of Christ's death. You have not passed through the death of Christ. You have not entered into the boundary of his resurrection and in his ascension. Well, the types really something. See, think about it. It means a lot. So don't forget this lesson. Don't make your own choice. Whenever you have your own choice made, you must realize that you are out of the death of Christ. You are not in the boundary of the death of Christ, and right in his resurrection and ascension.
Well, we continue to see how the geography of the good land is a real help in understanding the spiritual significance and how it applies to us in this story, Francis. Inside these waters, the death waters, the land is quite elevated, and surrounding it on all sides are the death waters, which means we really have to enter into, through the death of Christ, into the real enjoyment on the high ground, doesn't it?
That's right. This is really a marvelous picture, because there's not another way to get into the enjoyment of Christ in his resurrection and ascension but by the death waters. In other words, the cross of Christ is the pathway that leads us into the enjoyment of Christ. And if we plead like these two tribes did to be able to get our portion without going through the Jordan, we're going to miss the enjoyment of Christ that's typified here. So I just feel it's best not to make your choice what will be best for you and what you think is best for you, but to really wait on the Lord and let him have the opportunity to show you what his choice is and what he wants.
Francis, practically speaking, what areas would you say in our living represent the kind of choices that we really need to consider in light of a message like this, a word like this from Numbers?
Well, of course, God's purpose is to make his people really one and to make them one testimony on the earth and build them up as one body. So there are a lot of things that come into our realization and our living that if we consider what it's going to look the best for us, we would not choose the way that God chose. God chose us here in this particular type, in this particular figure, that the way into the enjoyment of Christ in his ascension and his resurrection is to go through the death waters. So when we come to a situation where we think it would be much better for us to avoid the problems that we look like we will face if we let God do it, we are making a choice of our own, and it will not bring us into the full enjoyment of Christ. And this is what these two tribes have faced. They saw the situation from their standpoint as being ideal for their gaining, and also they were still had a desire to get what God promised, and that is the good land. But their idea was to get the good land on the east side of the Jordan, which turned out to be a dangerous spot. And if they had gone through the Jordan and gone in with all the children of Israel, they would have been spared the attacks that they got from the Babylonians and others in the years that followed.
So I would say, based on your fellowship here, that even as we consider many practical things in our life, where we might live, where we might work, our consideration is purely economics and what seems to be have the quickest payoff or the shortest break even. Oftentimes we let those kinds of things become the overruling factor, don't we?
Right, and that will not bring us into God's full blessing. The way to get in God's full blessing is according to His Word and according to His economy, to bring us through the death waters into the enjoyment of Christ with all the others, being one Israel, you might say.
Right.
Not separating ourselves from others of God's people for our convenience. You mentioned that where you live, what kind of work you do, and all these things have to be weighed in the balance, not to consider that your choice is the wisest. God has a wiser choice.
Well, in this final section, we're going to see a different element of the suffering that followed their getting what they thought they wanted, a kind of suffering that I think we'll all identify with as we hear Witness Lee unfold this portion. It's quite interesting. Let's go back.
Now, we come to the distributors of the good land. The leaders of those 2.5 tribes are executed. They don't have any share in the distribution of the good land. God is fair. Caleb's name first. When you hear your name first, would you be happy? You heard the second, not you. The third, not you. The fourth, not you. You say, where are I? The fifth, not you. The seventh, not you. The eighth, not you. The ninth, not you. You are finished. Do you like to hear this? Now, where's your name? Sorry, your name is not here. Because of what? Because you made a choice. You didn't leave the choice to Him. If you did, your name will be here. Think about it. It is not of today's opinion, right? Or today's appraisal. It is up to that day. That day when your name will be listed there. That is something. We all must wait till that day. Paul says, although he couldn't find out that he was mistaken in anything, yet he dared not to justify himself. But he waited till the day of the Lord. Today is the day of man. Man's counting means nothing. Just wait for his day. Let him count. So we all have to be careful about not to select anything, not to decide anything according to your likes or dislikes, according to your kind preferences or not. You must be careful. You are not the Lord. You are not the one that is really qualified to give the final word. Not you, but Him. See, we all have to learn this one lesson.
There were a number of striking things that came up there. I was trying to write down or jot down a couple of them. One thing he said, it's not up to today's opinion, today's appraisal. It's up to that day when your name will be listed there. That's something, he said. How about that, Francis?
Yeah, that's quite an enlightening observation, because we may choose it now because it looks good to us, but if we have not gotten God's way, we're going to find out that our name is missing on the list, as these two tribes were when they went into the good land. Their portion was not listed there. Their name was not listed. And with us, it's the same. It's not up to us right now, but it's up to our waiting on the Lord and knowing, taking the Lord's way, that He's chosen and He's selected. Then, in that day, we will be rewarded if we wait on Him and take His way. But anything we do to choose for ourselves is very risky, because we don't know how it is We only see it today. Paul said, "It's a small thing to me to be judged by you or by man's day, but I don't even judge myself. But I'm not justified by this," he said, "but he who judges me is the Lord." So the day is coming when we will be judged by the Lord according to how we have waited on him and taken his way.
Yes, this matter of today being man's day, not the Lord's day. And man has his way of judging things, and we're often affected by that. Often our feelings are very much motivated one way or the other by how man or men or those around us see things and judge what we are doing. But the lesson here is to not let that become our gauge and our guide. If our view and our heart is set on that coming day, our steps will follow, won't they?
That's right. If we set our heart on him, he will set his heart on us. He said, "If you abide in me, I'll abide in you."
Boy, this, again, another little portion that we've probably all read over, but not thought too much about, trying to get through these laborsome books in the Old Testament. But if we would just stop and take a look at the scenery, as we've gotten a chance to do today, there's quite a vista, isn't there, Francis?
That's right. You put it right. We read over it.
Yes.
But we didn't stop to see what was there.
Really?
But this was a big help today to see what our choice can mean and what it means to wait on his choice.
Well, Francis, you and I asked the Lord together before we opened the mics today that the Lord would shine and really enlighten all of us. I don't know how you feel, but I feel enlightened.
Very much so.
Thank you for your help, Brother Francis. Our time has eclipsed us here, and we hope you've more than enjoyed. We hope you've also been enlightened and had the Lord shining penetrate your being as it has ours today. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.